Welcome to the Ruck Life Podcast. How are you doing today? I'm excited about our conversation. I'm here with my brother, my friend, Pastor Brian. How you doing, Pastor Brian?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Welcome. I'm very well, thank you. I think one of the things I wanted to do is we had talked before we started record was just kind of invite people into conversations that we have. Again, being that you're a great friend of mine, I think I'm a great friend of yours. Well, I shouldn't call myself great, but I think I'm a pal.
The greatest friend.
I just kind of invite into conversations we have, you know, and the camera just happens to be here. But I know we have deep conversations. We have conversations about everything, you know, life, sports, pickleball. We talk about it all. But in that, I think we always find that the Bible's true. Iron sharpens iron. And we can come with our thoughts, ideas, questions, faith, scripture, and we wrestle those things out. And so I wanted to just invite our podcast audience into that conversation today. Not that we'll have answers or all the solutions, but I think some encouragement, right? I think that's the goal.
Yeah. I'm stuck on the fact that you did not include pickleball into the sports category. You separated it. For any of those who thinks that they're doing a sport while playing pickleball, no. Pastor Antonio just said you are not athletic. Well, but that's okay.
No, I do. I love pickleball, and it is very much a sport. I was realizing some of these retired guys, you know, Andre Agassi, and these, I mean, they're really into pickleball. But if you talk to some tennis enthusiasts or players, they really don't like pickleball. I think there's like that hater element to it because it's like tennis. There's some different level of investment. You can't really just on pickleball, you can walk onto the court by the first day and be pretty. You can hold your own. Tennis, there's a lot more to it. Right? Like I've tried tennis. You can. I'm pretty athletic. I can pick up sports pretty easily, but tennis, you have to. There's a lot of
man for all them the pickleball enthusiasts out there. He says you can walk onto a court and do it. I think you know it's funny, but you do definitely notice people that play more regular. I mean, there are times where I feel like I'm getting really good,
and then there's
and then this guy, older gentleman, will come out and just whoop the heck out.
Oh yeah,
me.
Yeah.
And it's like I never played pickleball before.
That's how I was with racquetball. I started playing racquetball as a young man, and I thought, you know, I'd see these older dudes. I'm like, I'm going to run all over. And I was running all over the place, but it was all about ball placement. So they'd put it in the most impossible spot, and they'd whip me, man.
Yeah,
but
it's like golf. Anyways,
humbling. Yes. Yeah, golf same way.
Yeah.
But that's a sport. That's,
yeah.
I remember I
classify it as a sport. I don't know if you do.
Touche. No, I remember when they were saying how like Tiger Woods would bench press 400 pounds just because of the sheer strength that you'd have to have in these things. But anyways,
yeah,
that's the Masters just happened.
Yeah,
well, I don't know. Are you golf? You like golf?
Golf does not like me. So I wouldn't say like, that.
How
I
many
like
people
golf.
Call themselves golfers?
I'm not a golfer.
That's what I'm saying. Like people who play golf doesn't necessarily make you a golfer, right? There's probably a threshold of.
I like being outside.
Okay. So you'll try anything outside and then...
Yeah, but I,
to be
I'm
called a
golf.
Golfer, there's probably a... You got
to
be...
Yeah, your handicap's got to have a cap to it, probably.
Yeah, see, cause I wouldn't call myself a golfer.
I maybe golf 2 to 3 times a year at most.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's a whole ordeal. Remember, I mean, we went one time and by the back nine, I was like, all right, let's just hit the
wall. I keep this a bottle of Aleve in my golf bag.
This is a pretty course. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not, you know.
Well, you guys go ahead and finish.
Anyways, well, we're here to talk about some spiritual things. That was a longer intro than normal. Maybe we got too casual inviting them into our conversation. But anyways, today, I posed this question to you earlier. You know, as pastors, one of the privileges that we get is we get to do life with people.
Yep.
And we get to be there and celebrating their highest highs. You know, birthdays and babies being born and graduations and things that they're accomplishing. But we also are there walking with them in their lows. When the loss of a loved one, divorces, whatever it might be, the lowest parts of their life, we do our best to walk alongside them and be there with them. The Bible says to mourn with those who are mourning, rejoice with those who are rejoicing. So the highs and the lows. But I think one of the common threads that we'll see are people that are in faith, walking with the Lord, doing everything that we would. Hey, you said do step 1, 2, 3. I listened to this podcast and they said, I mean, just last week we were talking about some keys to success. I did all those things and yet find myself in this hard place. And so I think I pose the question to you, and we can open up this conversation, is what do we say to people when they are doing those things and life still is not working out the way that they would have liked?
Yeah. So, you know, I think one of the biggest misconceptions we have as Christians is we think that nothing is ever going to go wrong in our life and we're never going to have challenges. And yeah. And I think because we understand the promises of God and we understand the blessings that come from God and all of those things that are very much true. Mm-hmm. There are seasons of our life, and some seasons are longer than others, that are going to be difficult. And I think, you know, scriptures that immediately come to mind, you know, he that endures to the end shall be saved. I mean, to endure to the end.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Not he who stays prosperous till the end and continues to keep their faith. And I think that's just something that always jumps out at me when we were talking earlier about Hebrews chapter 11. Some died without receiving the promises of God.
Yeah.
But it was for those who were yet to come. Right. Mm-hmm. And so in our minds, we think, well, listen, I've done all of these things, and why am I not seeing it? Some of those promises are going to come to fruition later on in life. Some of those promises are going to come to fruition after we're gone. Mm-hmm. Some of those promises, some of these, the way that we weather the storms are going to show our kids. You know, I think one of the things that I mentioned to you earlier, it's like you look at as we continue to talk about how the end times are near, yeah. right? And Jesus is getting ready to come back. Now, I don't know if that's going to be in my lifetime, your lifetime, if that's going to be my kid's lifetime.
Right.
But if it happens in my kid's lifetime when I'm gone,
yeah.
are my kids going to be ready? If I can't show them how to stand in faith now
right.
and be the example that God has called me to be as their father now, how is it going to look when I'm gone and they have to stand in faith? Because if everything is always about prosperity, if everything is always about what God's going to do for me, if everything's always, I mean, even the peace that surpasses understanding, right? That's like that. I don't think we understand that scripture in the depths of what it's saying. Cause like you can't understand how you're going to have peace in that season.
Right.
That's basically what the Bible is saying. Like when everything in your life is saying you shouldn't have peace, mm-hmm. you have peace.
Yeah.
Right. Not because your circumstances are good, because everything in your life is telling you that you shouldn't have peace.
Yep.
But you still have peace. Right.
Yeah. I think, you know, you were talking about faith that endures. Right.
Yeah.
And I think there's that enduring faith. And I think of a scenario in the Bible. We can think of Job, right, where we now know Job when we get to read Job after the fact. And we get, man, look at Job, what he endured. And but that, in a real time scenario, he lost a lot of it instantly, but he didn't get it. We read the end of the story and he got it back, but that didn't just happen instantly. You know, you don't just instantly have 10 kids. He instantly lost 10 kids, but you don't just, or did he? No, double, right? What he got,
he
double.
Got double. What 100, he got a hundredfold.
So in other words, there was that enduring faith and the time along the way. And when it didn't look all right all the time. And I wonder, for us, I think of that scripture, life is but a vapor, where it's kind of just like the thought that this life is but a vapor. And I've heard it a couple different ways recently. We've always heard, hey, life is short, let's do it, right? But and I've heard it's been challenging to me. It's like, hey, life is long. And what they were saying, what I hear the heart behind that is, it doesn't have to happen right now, because life is long. In other words, God is long suffering. He suffers long with us. He's there. So yes, life is short, and we, you know, make some decisions, but also life is long in the sense that it doesn't have to be right now.
Yeah.
Right. Everything's not right now. Everything's not in the moment. It's not going to all be for the reels or the stories or whatever. And I think how that affects our faith for someone that just kind of going through something today is we have to walk this out day by day, step by step. And when we want the end result right now, it will rob us from being able to walk through and to your point, kind of strengthening our faith to be able to sustain hardship, which hardships are promised.
Yeah, I think if you when you read your Bible, I can't off the top of my head.
I love how you said when, not an if, when.
When. I can't think of one person, and maybe you can help me with this. I can't think of one person in the Bible that didn't endure hardship. Mm. That, see, we read one section of scripture, right, that talks about the blessing of God. Maybe one verse out of a chapter that gives you the promise. But there's all this stuff before it. Even going through sometimes multiple chapters, right, of talking about the hardships, talking about the struggles, talking about the things that you have to overcome. And then you have, so we stand on that promise.
Yep.
But we got to understand, like David, he was anointed as king.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 15 years later
that
he actually got to, and look at what he went through, running for his life. Now, when you think like, okay, checking the boxes, right? I'm out here just serving God. I'm in the hills of Judea. I'm doing everything God needs me to do. I'm doing everything my parents want me to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I get anointed as king.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to the hills.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I come back. Okay. Now what am I going to do? I'm going to go and I'm going to play the harp.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm going to do everything he's asking me to do.
Yeah.
And I'm checking the boxes. Right. Then now I'm going to kill Goliath. You know what I mean? Yeah. Everybody else is scared. I'm going to check that box.
Yeah.
All of this continuing to happen. But then as he's checking the boxes, things continue to happen.
Yeah.
But what was God doing? He was building his faith. He was giving him an understanding of what it actually means to be the anointed. He wasn't going to raise his hand against the king, right? He was going to understand authority in a way that nobody else could.
Yeah.
He was going to understand the protection and the provision of God through the hardest times of your life.
Yeah.
Like those are things that you can't learn in a book.
Right.
Those are things that you can only learn through experience, right?
Well, you bring up David, and I think he's a perfect example of the misnomer of Hollywood ending, or because there is no happily ever after in that. There's no climax to David's life, right? Because there are highs. Hey, he was anointed king, and he became king. We would think the movie would end there. But if you notice, there's constantly highs and lows even after it. Then okay, he's anointed king, but then he finds himself. He becomes a murderer, and he loses a son that he had out of wedlock. Then he gains into more wealth and more power and more prestige. But then his own son tries to kill him and take the kingdom, and his own son puts him on the run. And so it's just constantly the ups and downs, and no one gets the Hollywood ending. And I think that's the part we have told ourselves.
And this is the man that's after God's own heart.
A man after his own heart. So for us, I think an important takeaway or a recognition is to stop trying to go for the high of the story, because it's the longevity.
Yeah.
Right? We're not in a movie. My wife always like, you think there's movie cameras on you? Like, because mom was like, you know, life goes on, and you're trying to attain, right? We have goals. We should have goals.
Yeah.
But along the way, there's going to be the ups and downs. But I think we think, I can endure the ups and downs until I get to that goal, and then I want it to stop after that. Because then, hey, cut, that's a wrap. But that's not until we take our last breath, there's going to be adversities.
Yeah.
There's going to be challenges, and the ups and downs will still go. And I think that is the encouragement for all of us. And like, hey, this is not a very encouraging podcast. Like, the encouraging part is, yes, it will always be there, but our faith along the way is constantly growing.
Well, because we're foreigners passing through, right?
That's right.
We're in this world, but we're not of this world. The life that we live here is temporary. Right. We're not working to gain something here.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking to gain something for all of eternity. And I think that's where, do we truly believe? I think we've had this conversation, right? It's like, how is it that you could want to be with, you know, dead so young or whatever the case is? It's more.
Yeah, let's put it out there.
I want to be in heaven, right? And so in order to be in heaven, obviously I need to die. So, but I'm cool with that, right? And the conversation's like, why do you want to die so young? It's like, it's not that I want to die young.
Right.
But do I truly believe that heaven is as good as the Word of God says it is? Right. Do I truly believe in a life without sickness, without pain, without suffering, without hurt? Do I truly believe in a life that is going to be far greater with Jesus Christ, that this life that we live in here is temporary? And if I truly believe that, And if my focus is on what's to come and not here, then that's how we endure. That's when we understand that it's not about this life here. Now, God does want to bless us while we're here, and he's going to do those things. Mm-hmm. And if you look back, it's so, man, it's so easy to forget what God did yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest problem, right? It's so easy. It's like when we first get our house, it was the biggest faith confession that we could have. Like, the fact that I was able to buy my first home, that's the testimony, right? Mm-hmm. But then the minute we get hard pressed for cash, we forget how God gave us that house in the first place.
And
all of a sudden now it's like, how did this happen? How is it that I'm faithful in serving God? How is it that I'm a tither? How is it that I'm doing all of the right things? It's like God, he's not here to just make it a smooth ride for each and every one of us, because we have to show people. I mean, I know the testimonies that I get to share with people, what God has done in my life came through some of the hardest times in my life. Exactly. But if I wouldn't have experienced those hard times in my life, I wouldn't be able to encourage somebody else in their faith walk now. Mm-hmm. If I couldn't see the healing manifestation in my life and my family's life, then how am I going to truly be able to tell somebody about how God wants to heal them in their life? Just based off of what the Bible says?
Right.
I mean, we know that, but see, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we understand what God's word says, so we stand on what God's word says, but when we actually Pastor Andrew, like, there's nothing like experiencing it for yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you can't change your mind now.
Yeah.
You can't change my mind on the things that I believe. Why? Because I've experienced them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we have to understand that when it comes to these things in our life, the Bible talks about faith, right? Do you need faith when everything's good?
No, I can rely on what's right in front of me.
Yeah.
Right? The money in the bank, the health that I have, the family around me. But what happens when those things are gone?
What happens when they're gone? It's that. I was talking with a neighbor of mine recently, missionary. Mm-hmm. And he says that because, you know, I think our perception, the problem with our perception, you mentioned this to me earlier, is that we have a United States perception of what the world is like.
Yeah.
But it's a lot different in the rest of the world. And so I was talking with my neighbor, and he had said that there are churches that the pastors actually pray for persecution. Mm. And the reason why they pray for persecution is because that's when the church grows. Because when everything is good, we don't need God.
Right.
Yeah. But when the persecution comes, all of a sudden now what happens? You're crying out to God and you're asking and he's building you up. So there are pastors that pray for persecution so that people won't die and go to hell. Now, the crazy thing about that is they're not just praying for persecution against the people, because they're going to receive the persecution too.
Yeah.
There are pastors all over the world that lay their life down to further the gospel.
Right.
To this day,
right?
Not just in biblical days,
yep.
But this is happening now. Pastor Dan just talked about the church in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. 40 people died celebrating Easter Sunday.
Yeah, and I think that goes to the scripture that I was thinking of as you were talking: to live is Christ, to die is gain. And I think you've lived that. You know, we tease you about, like, hey, I'll go home. But because you live with that understanding, to live is Christ. Hey, man, if I'm alive, amen, to God's glory, I'll do what I can. To die is gain, because I'll be in heaven. And you think about those people who laid their lives down or were martyred or were killed for their faith. People all over the globe are aware of these 40 some odd people, and their faith gets strengthened or gets challenged. Or now people in their region, their family, I mean, some of them, hey, they might struggle in their faith, or they're going to put their feet in the sand and, hey, if they were willing to die and lay their life down, it must be for something real. And I think that's where we saw the growth in first century church, because it was literally happening all around them. Why was it growing? Why does the church grow under persecution? I think because there's that reality that this is real. And if someone's willing to lay their life down for this truth, then there must be something to it. And I think that's just a concept that we don't, again, to no one's fault, that it's hard for us to grasp sometimes because it's so easily accessible. Because we can drive down the street and see 50, we can throw rocks at 50 different churches. Don't throw rocks at churches, but you get what I'm saying, right? Like, you can go and people on a Sunday morning, you can drive and people are in there safely in their churches, worshiping, doing what they can freely do that. Not thinking that there are people who don't have that luxury, that have to hide, that have to connive just to try to tell somebody about Jesus. And And those are the things, Pastor Brian, that I think the challenge for us is to strengthen our faith. Yes, we're encouraging you. Yes, we want to come alongside you when you need prayer, when you're having trouble. I have trouble. I struggle in my faith. I struggle to believe. Like, man, this prayer is not getting answered. But I have to have enduring faith that I might not see it. I don't feel it. It can feel far away, or maybe this isn't going to happen. Am I missing him? Am I even asking the right thing? But I have to have an enduring faith within me that's going to believe that God's going to work it out, whether it's in the direction of my prayer or... And how many times have we had conversations? Again, as friends and brothers, we have conversations to encourage each other because we couldn't see where this challenge was going to end yet.
Yeah.
It worked itself out, and it didn't always work out the way we thought, the way we planned, the way we painted the picture, but it worked out and to God's glory. But along the way, we've exercised that faith muscle to just know God's going to work that out. And we've had to encourage each other. Hey, man, remember how it worked out last time? Remember you were telling me that? And this is how it worked out. Like, oh yeah.
And that's why godly relationships are so important,
right?
Because iron does sharpen iron.
Yeah.
Because usually even like Melissa and I have these conversations, like we're not allowed to have a bad day at the same time, you know, right. Because what'll happen is I'll be complaining.
Yeah.
And she gets me back on track,
mm-hmm.
or she's complaining. I get her back on track.
Yeah.
Now what happens sometimes is I'll complain and then she'll be having a bad day. She'll start to complain. And then it's like, wait a second, hold on. This is dangerous.
Right.
We need to pull back.
Yeah.
Cause one of us has to, because this is the challenge. And I think so many times we see, I have people say, it's like, man, why are my kids going through so much? And it's like, your kids are amazing. And it's like, Pastor Jim used to say, like, all my kids are serving God, but you've heard Pastor Jessica's testimony. Right.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't always that way.
Right.
Right. And I think that's what people don't understand. So you get to see like, oh yeah, these people have an amazing marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My wife is my best friend.
Yeah.
I fight with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Like we don't always see eye to eye.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we know how to work through things and we endure the hard times because we know the blessing that comes in this amazing marriage that we have.
Yeah.
But there are hard times that we have to endure.
Well, then doesn't that speak to a mindset then that regardless of how this is going to work out, I'm sticking with it?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you saying that, like, you're not wondering, hey, I'm wondering if this thing's going to work out with Melissa. You're saying, this is my wife. This is forever. This is my best friend. So regardless of the friction going in, I think we do that with our faith, though. Like, hey, I'm trying this Jesus thing out. So versus, hey, I'm walking with Jesus, hell, high water, ups, low, down, you know, ups, downs, all of it. I'm sticking with it.
Yeah.
And that's the switch in our faith that I think we have to set ahead of time, because it's like, oh yeah, I'm, you know, casual. We got married. We'll see.
Yeah.
Right. Like what?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, you're not really setting yourself up for success. You make a commitment and it's not, well, it just depends how things are. I'm going to try this out. If I'm happy, if it feels good, if it works for me.
We can mesh.
Yeah, like, you know, it depends if they cross my boundaries. You know, like, and again, none of these things in and of themselves, I'm not saying don't want happiness. I'm not saying don't, you know, set boundaries in your life. But there are some things that you have to determine going in. I'm going to have to fight for this result. Yeah. And that's where I think will be a key component for us mentally going in. I think that's a perfect example. Because, hey, we don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Right? Meaning, and of course we have a choice, but we're setting on our hearts that this is for eternity because this is what God designed for us. And whatever it takes, I'm going to fight for it.
You ever wonder why God says, hey, I'm going to show Paul what he needs to suffer for my sake? Like, that's the call, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to suffer for my sake. But he's setting him up like, hey, you're going to get stoned.
Yeah.
You're going to get shipwrecked.
Yeah.
You're going to get beaten.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to lock you up in prison.
Yeah.
You're eventually going to be put to death, but don't worry. There's something greater on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's like, I want the faith like Paul.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause you don't want to endure.
Yeah.
Right. Can you imagine like faith like Daniel? Like who wants to have to believe God to not get eaten by a lion?
Right. Right. Well, I think about, I go to the gym and I see these very fit people. And I'm like, man, but these guys are spending the time in the gym. They're doing, and I really don't want to do the diet that they have to do.
Right? No.
So to get everything that these guys have, peak physique, right? It's diet, it's lifting, it's this, like, and do you really want to pay the price for that? Many of us don't. Very few will. And so that it's the same thing in our faith walk that we see, oh my gosh, look at that. Like, but what they've endured and they're still enduring.
Yeah.
You know, the people in peak physique still have to endure days of lifting and training and exercise.
How about joint
diet,
pain?
Right. Joint pain. Yeah.
While looking good.
Right. Yeah. Right. We just see the good part.
Yeah.
We don't see that to get out of bed. It's like a toil.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'd rather go back to where you. And again, that's where thief steals joy. Right. I mean, sorry. Thief steals joy. Comparison steals our joy.
Yeah.
Right? Comparison is a thief. Because if we're always just comparing. Now, it's one thing to be encouraged by our brothers and sisters, by their faith, but if we're just like, we're not looking at their faith. We're looking at what they have.
Yeah.
We're looking at their result. We're looking at their fruit and saying, I want that fruit. But sometimes it can be difficult because there's been times where like, man, I just want that muscle to go. But then I've asked people before, hey, how'd you get that to pop out like that? And like, well, like, so what? Cause I want to mimic that.
Yeah.
Right. What's the exercise that you did to really work that shoulder thing that just protrudes, right? You know, and again, I'm just using it and out, but in the same way in our faith, like, hey, how'd you get your marriage to look like that versus I just want a marriage that is like Pastor Brian and Melissa's, you know, yeah. Like versus, hey, how'd you work out through your adversities? Because then when we hear your testimony, we understand, hey, how'd you work that out? What'd you do when she was doing that? Or when people talk to Pastor Melissa, hey, what'd you do when he was acting a fool?
Lots of times. You know, it's funny, even thinking of fighting with your spouse, Melissa and I, probably about 6 months ago, we had a pretty good argument.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was probably one of the bigger ones that we've had. And I remember I leave the room because I'm mad.
Mm-hmm.
And Melissa was 100% wrong, right?
Yeah.
In my mind, she's 100% wrong. And I go in the living room and I'm just like, God, you got to do something with her. And he's like, it starts with you. Right. So here I find myself, I need to pray and I'm praying, asking God, hey, I need you to help me because this needs to get fixed. He says, you know how to fix it. See here, I leave the room, right? The Bible says not to go to bed angry.
Yeah.
But here it's nighttime and I'm ready to go to bed angry. I need to go to bed. God, I need you to fix this.
Yeah.
He says, no, you need to go fix it. Cause I could justify all the reasons why I was right. And of course, for every husband out there in the world, we know we're not right. But I could justify in my mind all the ways that I was right. But the fact of the matter is as the head of the home, I have a responsibility, right? And I had to go tell my wife, look, I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry that I lost my temper. I'm sorry that I said these things. I'm sorry. See, there's an element, mm-hmm. and I have to now get outside of myself,
yeah.
right? And I have to do something that's completely uncomfortable. I got to swallow my pride.
Yeah.
I got to put my big boy pants on. I want the healthy marriage. Then I need to go in humility and apologize to my wife, even if I felt that I was right,
mm-hmm.
because that's what the Bible tells us to do. Go to your brother, right? Well, I'm right. I want these great relationships. I want this great marriage. I want this great job. I want the, but are we working at our job? Are we working harder than everybody else? And even then, are we doing it just because our employer is in front of us? Are we doing it because Jesus is worthy of it? Are we doing and the funny thing is even, well, I didn't get a raise, but have you looked at your life and seen the stuff that God has given you?
Yeah.
The provision in all the areas of our life where you look back and you're like, man, look at what God gave me, even though I didn't get the promotion, even though I didn't get the raise, even though I didn't get the recognition, but God has taken care of all these other areas of my life and he continues to supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I don't need the blessing from my employer because I got it from God.
Yeah.
And when we focus on those things, it changes our perspective. So it's like, well, I am struggling in this area in my health, but what is God going to do? How is he going to fix this? What is it he's trying to do in your life? What is it that you're trying? Like you said, Job, he endured all that time. It's like, yeah, 100-fold. We go from Job lost everything to restored 100-fold, and we forget about all the other chapters.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Right? It's like we got to read the entire Word of God.
Yeah.
We got to understand all of it
mm-hmm.
in its entirety, and we have to understand that there are things. We were talking earlier about going through the book of Timothy with my daughter right now, and we're talking about prayer. Praying for our leaders, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it goes on and it says, listen, God is not that God's desire is that all will come to the wisdom and knowledge of him. That's God's desire, right? So this is why we pray for people. So then it goes on, when you pray, do it with a good heart.
Yeah.
Don't do it angrily. Don't do it begrudgingly, right? With a pure heart.
Mm-hmm.
So don't just check the box of prayer. God, I prayed.
Yeah.
No, fix your heart first.
Right.
And when you pray, understand, because what is the purpose of praying? The purpose of praying is not just so that you can live comfortably. The purpose of praying is so that they don't die and go to hell.
Right.
See, again, eternal perspective. Mm-hmm. So what is the eternal perspective of how we're living life? Because if we have the eternal perspective, we won't be so discouraged in our walk here on earth.
So good. Well, Pastor Brian, I think that's about all the time we have today. I thought that was a fun conversation. I pray that you guys are encouraged. Really, I think our takeaways today is, because we want the practical. We want the, give me the step, give me this. And it's, we got to strengthen our faith.
Yeah.
It's, we got to endure. We got to keep going with highs, with lows. Walk this out. Don't quit. We can't quit. It's like we need that bulldog type of grip on life and make a decision. We have to make a decision that this is something we're not trying out. We're not just going to see if this works. We're going to walk out with God. So, Pastor Brian, if you wouldn't mind closing us out in a prayer.
Yeah.
Or any closing thought. Appreciate you coming on today.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me. And especially, I know I usually only get invited from Pastor Antonio when he's not going to be here. So I was glad that he actually wanted to do this with me. That was cool. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can stand in faith knowing that you are in control. Lord God, there's lots of things that's working that we don't see. And Heavenly Father, if there has to be hard times right now to draw people closer to you, then Lord God, allow us or help us stay in faith during these hard times. Lord God, allow us to keep our focus on you. Allow us to keep our focus on the salvation of others. Allow us to keep our focus on the eternal promises of God. And Lord, we just ask for a faith that can endure. We ask, Lord God, that you continue to show us the entire counsel of God as we open up our word, as we spend time in your word, Lord God, that we don't just read the promises, but we understand the fight of faith that it takes to get to those promises. We thank you, Lord God, for everything that you have already given us, that the fact that if we just were to die today, but we have eternal life, Lord God, it's the best thing. And so we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're going to continue to build the faith of your saints, that you're going to continue to surround them with like-minded faith, that you're going to continue to sharpen them, Lord God, through other servants of God, through other people, Lord. If there are people out there that are lonely, Lord God, show them areas of their life that they can put themselves in so that they can build relationships. Have them get here to church 30 minutes earlier so they can have friends. Have them go to small groups. Have them begin to volunteer. Whatever the case may be, get them surrounded by like-minded faith, Lord God, so that they can be sharpened, so they can continue to fight the good fight, that they continue to endure. You know, I love, as Paul prayed in prison, he thanked God for those who came and visited him in prison because he says they ministered to him. We thank you, Lord God, for every single person that's standing in faith right now, that you're going to send them somebody that's going to encourage them in the hardest times of their life so that they can stand in faith and know, Lord God, that what they see now is not what they will see in the future. And we just give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. All right, guys. Well, we love you. Rock Live Podcast, like, share, comment, subscribe. We'll talk to you next time. God bless you. We love you.
God bless you guys.